Father God, we're thankful and grateful all at the same time. Thankful because we can cry out in our praises to you. We can worship you with song. We can worship you with our voices. And we can be easily reminded that you are so much more than what we are. You are so much more holy, beyond our understanding, powerful, immeasurable. And Father, we can just get lost in the knowledge of who you are, that you are greater than us, that you are Lord of all creation, that you are powerful beyond us. Yet, in the midst of all of that, Lord, we're reminded that you know us and that you love us. You knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. God, that just boggles our minds. That your knowledge is so powerful, so beyond us, that you would know these things. There's not a place that we can go that we can outrun you or get away from your sight. You know us all too well. You know the thoughts in our brains. You know the things that stick to the tip of our tongue that we can't spit out. The words that we want to communicate, you know all of those things. You know us so intimately, and you want us to know you in that same way. So thank you, God, for that. God, sometimes I think we take for granted the things that you call us to, the things that you speak to us, the things that you want to do in us, and we just go about our business. Help us to stop that. Help us to trust in you with our whole heart, with our whole mind, our whole soul, because God, you are worthy of all those things. But God, we know that we can't do that without you. We know that to trust is a relationship thing. So God, will you build in us that relationship that you desire? Will you allow us to know you more intimately? Will you allow us to see you to work in our lives? Because God, you are great and we want to love you. So God, will you work in ways that we just don't know how you're going to do it, but we know and we trust that you will. So God, as we hear your word spoken to us today, as we worship you in different ways, will you just allow us to know you above all else? And will you speak to us? As our kids go for children's church today, Lord, will you speak to them as well? God, we believe in our children and the upcoming generations, whether that be young kids or teenagers, high schoolers, college age. We believe in them, and we ask, God, that you would work in their lives. Not for knowledge. Well, that's good. We pray for heart change for our kids, for our adults, for everyone. So, God, will you do that? And help us to be more and more like you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. First of all, welcome. I'm glad you're here today. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So glad that you guys are here. We have a thing called a QR code that you can scan at any point in time. That would be greatly appreciated. Just a way for us to get to know you, you to get to know us, but also it just helps us to get some contact information and things of that nature. Would love it if you would do that. Some other things that we want to just communicate with you, chat with you about, and get rolling about today is that this Wednesday is a youth bowling night. And if you haven't communicated with Jacob and Andrea, I would do so. Jacob and Andrea on this side over there. He's tall. He reached up really high so you could see him. contact, talk with them today. Teenagers, youth kids, get in contact with them. And if you're interested in being a part of that, that's fantastic. But before that, we also want to let you know that this tomorrow is Leaders Night Out. And you received an email from me if you are a part of this Leadership Night Out opportunity. And if you haven't replied back to me, please let me know. That would be greatly appreciated. If you have any questions about that, or you're like, hey, I want to know about this, talk to me. I would love to chat with you and tell you about Leaders Night Out. And maybe there's an opportunity for you to be involved. Also, we have begun the process of talking about a mission trip this summer. And we've already had a meeting about that. You've gotten an email, maybe. Hopefully, you've gotten an email from me about it. If you haven't, that means that I don't have your email. So you might want to chat with me about that because you're missing out on some important stuff. Or maybe it's in your junk mail. And we got to talk about that, too. Fix that out. We are planning a trip, and things are moving in the right direction, but we need to know if you're interested, because March 1st is our hard deadline for that. So if you are at all interested, talk to me today to get some information about that, okay? The other thing we want to let you know about, this is for the guys in the room. We are having a men's breakfast on March 9th. And in normal circumstances, I'd have a slide right behind me that beautiful letters of men's breakfast, but I don't have it. So that'll happen next week, but just mark your calendar, March 9th. And I want all the guys to be there for it. So count on it. Put it on your calendar. If you're a young person and you want to be in the men's breakfast, talk to the adult in your vicinity, and we'll see, okay? We want you to be a part of that. The other thing that I think we should just remind you about is that there's lots of opportunities for us to serve and to volunteer and participate in, and we want you to be a part of that. So if there's things that you are interested and want to volunteer in, come and chat with me. Love to get you connected and pointed in the right direction. And that would just be awesome. So let's do a, as we're kind of transitioning, let's do a poll really quick. Okay, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I can say that maybe. I won't get in trouble with the NFL too much. But if you're cheering for the Chiefs, you can raise a hand. Okay, five people. Fantastic. If you are cheering for the 49ers, you can raise a hand. Only one hand, John. Okay. If you're cheering for a tie so that you can just eat food, you can. Okay. That should be everybody. Okay. Regardless of what happens today, the thing that I am counting on is a good game. And maybe a nap in between halves. That might be nice. But regardless, eat responsibly today, okay? Eat responsibly. I'll let that sit for just a second, okay? Yep. Yep. Okay, I'm corny, I know it. We're going to go ahead and dismiss kids for Children's Church today. So kids ages 4 to 5th grade, you're dismissed to meet your leaders and to have time studying God's word together. As the kids go, last week we started a 21 days of prayer, and we're really, what I'm encouraging is that you spend time in prayer from last Sunday for the next 21 days. And I created a little booklet. Pamphlet, that's more ideal terminology, but it's there's more copies that are right by the tithing box back there. Really, it's a guide for every day for these 21 days to be praying. And so today we start week 2, day 1. And the prayer is for physical healing, for those that are in need of God's work in their lives. And I just want to share with you my heart on this, Okay, my heart on this is that, as I talked about last week, that we are people of prayer. Amen. Jesus communicated to the disciples and to those around, saying, and when you pray, assuming that you were already praying. And that's basically the assumption that I'm working with as well, is that we're assuming that you are praying, and these are some ways that you can pray. Now, these aren't the only ways that you pray. These are just a start of it, and these are just ways for you to be a little bit more focused. But the idea is that we are people who pray, so let's double it up. Not double it up, but let's be a little bit more intentional. Let's be a little bit more focused. Let's consistently pray and see what God does in it. And so last week, if you missed last Sunday's message, I invite you to just go and listen to it. We've got a number of ways that you can listen to it. Facebook, our website, YouTube. I think you can even, I'll even email you a copy. There you go. But the idea is that we want to be praying, okay? In about 2 weeks, because next week we'll begin start week three, we're going to be really serious about this prayer thing. And I'm working on some ways in which we can be praying during our worship service that particular Sunday. The details aren't figured out yet, but I'm working on it. So we take this seriously. I take it seriously, and I want you to take it seriously as well. So last week we began this series with being with God in prayer. Today we're doing something different. It is being with God in the dark. So if you got your Bibles, open them up. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. We've got a lengthy passage, and maybe you're familiar with it. If not, this is your opportunity to get familiar with it. And so let's just jump right into this passage of scripture. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. Now just a quick timeout. These are not prophets of the Most High God, our God. These are the prophets of Baal. Okay, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. And she is specifically talking about the prophets that were killed. So verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand by the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel, Mehaloah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." Amazing. An amazing passage of scripture. Let's get a little bit of context here just for a moment. This section of the Bible follows an amazing event of what happens at Mount Carmel, an epic showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. These are These are despicable prophets. They believed in really weird things, and I won't get into some of those, but they believed that the god of the Baal was a fertility god, and they did a lot of weird sacrifices. They did a lot of weird things, and this was just a despicable display before God and his people. And Baal is a false god being worshipped in Israel, and the king and queen were worshipping this false god. Now, there was also a drought that was going on and taking place because Elijah was bold enough to pray the 3 years prior, saying, "It will not rain until I pray for rain again." And this lasted for 3 years. And then after Mount Carmel, Elijah prayed and rain came. Whew. And Elijah is being witness to all this. But anyways, what happened at Mount Carmel is just fantastic. Elijah and these prophets get into a prophet showdown. That's what I'm calling it today. Elijah builds his altar to God. The prophets of Baal build an altar, stones, and arrange them so that they're built up, and then they take an animal, like an ox or a cow, they sacrifice it, put it on the altar, and they wait. The showdown was that we're going to pray, and we're going to pray to our gods, and whoever wins is the one that God rains fire down from heaven and burns up the sacrifice on the altar. So Elijah, being the gentleman that he was, says, "You guys go first." So they do all this. They sacrifice the animal. They put it up there, cut it apart the way that they were supposed to put it on the altar. And they start doing all the things. They start chanting. They start dancing. They start cutting themselves. And Elijah is, he starts kind of mocking them. And it's classic. You just got to read it. Maybe he's like, "Maybe you need to dance harder. Maybe you need to dance faster, sing louder. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's in the bathroom. You should probably wait for him a little bit longer." And it's hilarious. It's quite funny. And all this time, they're doing this dance around the altar and nothing is happening. Not one thing is happening. And Elijah's like, "All right, my turn." He digs a big trench around his altar. He's got the animal on there already. And then he gets water and dumps it over the top of the altar. And at the first word of his prayer, fire from heaven comes down and burns up the sacrifice, burns up the stones, burns up the water, and everything is burnt up. Amazing. That would be a ticket worth buying to see that happen, right? Oh my goodness, that would be fantastic. And the prophets of Baal are put to death, and there's a lot of them, like 400 and some, and then rains start coming. Elijah goes on the run right after that. Chapter 19, we already read it. He goes on the run because his life is being threatened by an evil, evil queen. But can you imagine, before we talk about that, can you imagine the spiritual high that Elijah is on? He has just witnessed an amazing act of God, the hand of God, basically dropping fire from heaven and just whoosh, burns up this altar in a victory for God in the face of evil prophets. Spiritual high. This is, I don't even have the words to communicate how excited I would be if I witnessed all of this happening because of what God was doing. And he is excited, and then all of a sudden, as we read in chapter 19, he is on a tailspin, nosedive, heading into the deep, dark night of the soul. Let me just read to you some of the things that he probably was feeling in this situation. Because he's at one moment high as a kite, just excited about what God is doing and feeling that. And then all of a sudden, he's feeling threatened and rejected and afraid, discouraged, disappointed, dejected, depressed. He's in despair. He's exhausted. He's tired. He's weary. He's alone. He has self-pity and self-condemnation. This is Elijah feeling all of these things, and he is a prophet of renown, witnessed amazing things of God in his life of ministry, and eventually he's whisked away on chariots of fire by God. He meets with Jesus in 400 and some odd years on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the Elijah that we're talking about, yet he is depressed, dejected, discouraged, and probably physical exhaustion and pain and sorrow, and he prays to God, "Kill me now." Is it too rough to say that sometimes we forget that Elijah was a human being just like you and me? Many times I put some of these prophets, I put these men of God, these women of God up on a pedestal, and like, they did nothing wrong. And then we look at scripture and we realize, okay, they did lots of things wrong. But here he is in his most vulnerable state. He has very real emotions, very real things, felt the sting of life, felt the joy of life, dealt with the major blows to his life, just like you and just like me. I'm not going to do it, but if I were to read the list and have you raise your hand again of the things that you have felt, like, ever felt threatened, ever felt rejected, ever felt afraid and discouraged, if we were to raise our hands, if those were ever emotions that we felt, probably half the room would raise their hand at about every single one of them. Depending on the situation, depending on the word that is said, there might be even more of our hands that would go up and say, yeah, I have felt in despair before. I have been physically exhausted in my life. Elijah was in the darkest place of his life in this passage of Scripture. And at some point in time, there's probably been a moment where you've been in a dark place of the soul. It's real. There's moments when you don't know what to do, don't know how to do it, don't know what to think, how to move, don't even know how to get out of bed sometimes. And if you're not in this dark night of the soul, you may have been or you might be, just because life happens, right? Now, I don't want to gloss over this. I think that would be a travesty on my part to just go over it and say, well, trust God and everything will be okay. Sometimes that is what we need. Sometimes we need something a little deeper. Sometimes we need to meet with someone to talk some things through. Sometimes we need to trust a good friend. So this isn't a message of happy platitudes and Christian speak that will fill you with all the good feels. I wish it would, because that would make my job a whole lot easier. But the fact is that we can relate to this story. We can relate to the place that Elijah is in, because we've probably been there before. So let's wrestle with this place that Elijah is in. And maybe this will help you in your future. Maybe it'll help you now. Maybe it will allow you to help someone else. Being with God in the dark is not an easy place. But what I can say is this, is that God's word has a way of speaking to us. And my prayer is that you listen to his voice today, not mine. Two quick thoughts before I get into the meat. Life happens. Victories and successes sometimes have ramifications in certain ways. And what I mean by that is that when God has victories, our enemy, Satan, has a response. When God is working in your life, the enemy has a way of lobbing grenades in your path. And I believe that to be true. I got an email from missionary friend, and God was doing some amazing things in this person's life and the team that they're part of. And it seemed like at every corner, there was a battle that was being fought, whether it was realized that this was an attack from Satan, or if it was just a struggle that could be figured out. Well, doesn't that connect that while God's working, there's a difficulty? Yeah. So victories and successes sometimes have ramifications, because the enemy is alerted that you are working for the goal of God's kingdom. So he's going to try to mess it up. Now, you and I could have a conversation on how we feel about the realness of the spiritual world in that way, and that would be a fun conversation. But I believe it to be true. Second thought is this, is that strength can be found even in far off places. when we are feeling in far off places, far from God, strength can still be found. Think about what we just read in Elijah's life. He is feeling in a far off place, a day removed from his servant, his compatriot, his person that he could rely on. He's a day in the wilderness, alone by himself, and strength is found even in far off places. You might feel right now that you are in a far off place. God can provide strength. How? He's God. He's miraculous. He can do things that we can't, and we just have to trust that he will. Will you trust him to give you strength in far off places? Okay. I got three thoughts. Good thoughts, I think, that we remember when we are in dark places. Being with God in dark places, first thing that we should remember is that God is God. And that's when you say, oh, really, Pastor Chopper? Oh, really, God is God? Yeah, he is. And that's what's amazing about Elijah and his name is that Jehovah is God. Is what his name ultimately means. Jehovah is God. His own name is the reminder that God is God and that he can be reminded that God delivers the victory. It wasn't anyone else. Let me try that again. It wasn't anyone else's victory at Mount Carmel besides God. It wasn't Elijah's victory. It wasn't Elijah that was the one who breathed fire down from heaven. That was God. It is only God's victories. When we have successes in life, it is only God. When we have victories in life, it's not you, it's not me, it's not anyone else. It is God. And as much as we want to claim them, as much as we want to take these victories as our own, it is only God, and we need to give him the recognition that it is only him. And the next victory that happens will be God's again. It is always God's victory. He delivers. And along with that, when God is God and we recognize that and we trust him in the midst of the dark nights, the dark places, God provides the strength for the next journey. When Elijah is a day into the wilderness by himself and he has completely surrendered himself to just saying, God, do away with me. Take me to heaven to be with you. It is God who provides the strength for the journey that he is about to take with food and water. When the journey proves to be too much, and life's journey is often too much, God provides the strength. When you think you can't go any further, God provides you with the strength to take one more step in the direction on where he wants to take you. God provides you the strength to take the next step. The next step and the next step. And so we trust, we rest, we eat, and we repeat. Trust, rest, eat, repeat. That's good stuff right there. Trust, rest, eat, and repeat. God, also, when we recognize that in the dark, in the being with God in the darkness, we know that God is God, but we also know that God is still present, even in the difficult. Even in the moments that we feel the most alone, God is still present. In the low place that Elijah was in, God is there. God was present with him along the way. When he's resting, the angel was with him. When he's in the cave, God himself is right there. Not in the thunder, not in the distractions, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in that still, small voice that when we can get away from the chaos, we can hear his voice. And sometimes that's the most difficult thing to do, is to get away from the chaos to hear his voice. And this is why last week's message is so important, so that we can pray without distraction and trust for him to work in our lives. Second point is this, that not only is God God, but God is good. God restores what we need. Physical restoration and spiritual restoration. Already kind of talked about it, but trust, rest, eat, and repeat. When we need it, God provides the restoration to our physical bodies. Because what is often true is that when we are in the dark, our physical bodies take a toll. Our physical bodies hurt, as well as our emotional bodies and our spiritual bodies. Our physical bodies feel the trauma of what we have gone through or what we are currently going through. And God provides the rest and the sustenance in order for us to continue. And he is good in that way. We trust in that. And spiritually speaking, what better way to rest than in the presence of God? I've often had people talk to me and say, you know what, one of the things that I do is that before I go to sleep, I'm praying, and then I fall asleep while I'm praying and I feel so bad about it. And I'm like, no, don't feel bad about falling asleep when you're praying. What better place to be resting in and then the presence of God while you are praying? So pray and fall asleep. He knows what you're saying anyways, because he's God. He's the omnipotent, holy God who knows all things, is all powerful, is all of that. And rest in his presence and don't guilt yourself when you fall asleep. He'll still be there when you wake up. He still wants to communicate with you when you wake up. So go ahead and do it. And I was one of those people. I used to pray and fall asleep, and I'm like, oh, I did it again, God. Someone told me, it's okay. It's okay. Next thought is that God is relentless in his pursuit of you. Have you ever noticed that when you are in the dark, or maybe you've felt this before, that when you've been there, God has just pursued you through unique ways? Even when you didn't want to feel it, even when you didn't want to hear it, across your path came people that would speak to you about who God is, talk to you, care for you, love on you, and as much as you may not have wanted to hear it, but it just kept coming around and around and around. He's in pursuit of you. And he uses others, he uses scenarios, he uses situations for his good to interact with you, because he's pursuing you. We can trust in the nature of who God is, that if he did it in the life of one of his prophets, he will do it for us as well. And he met Elijah in the dark. He met Elijah in his most difficult spot in his life. The question that I have for you is, in your darkest moment, will you be humble enough with God to say, I'm hurting? To be bold enough and say, God, I don't have the strength. Sometimes we're not raw enough with God. Sometimes we have a varnish on us. Varnish is like what makes wood shiny. It's probably more than that, but that's Chopper's uneducated statement. But if you look at the wood over there, it's varnished and shiny and smooth, protects the wood. We approach the throne of God with a varnished side. And we think if we're varnished before God, then we're perfect. And the truth is, if you turn your eyes to the cross that's on the wall up above our entryway into the sanctuary, that is anything but varnished. It's been beaten. It's been stained. It's been hung on the wall. There are holes in it. And in your life and my life, we have been beaten. We've been broken. We've been battered and torn and stained, and life has been hard. Take your unvarnished self and get real with God. And I believe he'll meet you. He'll meet you right there. But also, and this is the second to last thought, is that getting raw and real with God has a hard time happening with distractions like thunder and lightning and fire and earthquake. It's the stillness of his voice that you long to hear, but you can't because you have too many distractions going on. Let his presence watch over you in the stillness so you can hear his voice. And sometimes the distractions are good distractions. Don't let that distract you from God. Final thought. When you find yourselves in dark places, and this is practical, I think, when you find yourself in dark places, don't hide your hurts. We like to do that, don't we? I like to hide my hurts. Don't hide your hurts. Go to God. Be honest with God. Do you realize that the God that you're praying to when you wake up in the morning and when you go to sleep at night is the God who created the entire universe, the entire existence of mankind, and the world in which we see that, and the world in which we can't see? This is the God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. And we sometimes go to him as if he doesn't know anything and we're hiding things from him. This is the God who knows you more intimately than you have ever known. You read Psalm 139 and how much he knows you and loves you, and trust that he wants to be in relationship with you, but realize that who you are praying to is a God that has shoulders that can hold every burden that you have if you would just trust him with your burden. So go to him and be honest with him and trust him and him alone. And realize that when you feel as if you are alone, you are not. Because if you are walking with Jesus in relationship with him, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. And that is a deal changer right there. Because his power, God's power living in you, is the power that raised Christ from the dead. And that changes everything. You are not alone. You are not alone. It may feel like you are, but you're not. trust in him. Let's pray. Father, this is a message that is not easy. But God, I pray that you would use it to speak into our lives. I pray that you would use it in a way that will help us to know you more. And Father, I pray that you would use it in ways that we can't even ask or imagine, because you are working behind the scenes of things that we can only know in part. But God, will you work according to your plans for your grace to flow through us so that we can see you and know you. And so thank you, God, for that. God, you are so good. You are so good. And we pray all these things in your son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Just a quick reminder that if you are interested in taking one of these, you can do so. They're on the table just after you exit the sanctuary. And just a little guide for you to be intentional about your prayer time for the next 14 days. Or you can go beyond the next 14 and add another 7. That's fine. No problem. But we're being intentional about our prayer time. I'm so glad that you are here today to worship along with us. It's a joy when the body of Christ comes together and worships together. Let's stand and we'll close our time today with worship.